Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? That's right. Driving high can get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell when you're driving high, well, everyone else in your life can. Your friends can tell, your coworkers can tell, even your parents can tell. So what makes you think law enforcement can't tell? Well, they can. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like. And it gives you your best night's sleep. Night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Suze. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year is here. All beds on sale, up to 50% off the limited edition smart bed, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Show.
All right, 25, go!
Pump up the volume.
Told you so.
Kind of like to tell you, told you so.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Shane Steichen named Daniel Jones the Indianapolis Colts starting quarterback for the season.
He's proven that he's played good football in that 2022 season.
Earlier on the show, 15-year NFL veteran quarterback Rodney Pete, 7-time NFL Pro Bowler Steve Tasker. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Steve Tasker. We're about to have one with Albert Breer. I promise. I really promise. Great times with Rodney Pete in studio hour number one as well. Call us at 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. We'll take some phone calls in a second before Albert Breer. After that, last we heard about Cam Ward, he got into a pushy, shovey thing, a chit-chatty thing, a barking thing, I guess. Who knows? But he celebrated a touchdown pass he just threw in practice to Calvin Ridley in front of Jeffrey Simmons. I guess they said something to each other, and Simmons put both his hands on Ward's face mask, and the offensive line stepped in, and, you know, a good old-fashioned training camp, 96-degree weather in Nashville, Tennessee, yeah. Set to broke out. Coach gets in. Simmons leaves the practice field. Ward, two plays later, it's the end of the practice, and he makes them run. Simmons tweeted out, they're good, everything's good. And this is after the two of them had at it, apparently, a moment in June,
yeah,
where Simmons is like, the good thing about it is, like, he was able to take the back and forth and get back in the huddle and run the play, and Cam Ward's take on it was like, I don't – let that stuff bother me. Nobody's going to F with me or something like that, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly what he said.
So Cam Ward stepped in front of a microphone now for the first time since the whole pushy-shovey thingy. I'm told I will like the soundbite. This is what I am told. I have not heard it. I don't know what it is. The setup is what, Mike Hoskins? What's the question here? Oh, what did he learn? It's a teachable moment. I didn't know this.
It's a coaching moment.
Right? Nice. What have we learned, Cam Ward?
Did I learn anything from it? Jeff Strong as I would say. It was fun at the same time, and I think it was what we needed though. I mean, we love competing, especially me, Jeff, and you know I'm excited to have that man as my teammate. And so I mean I can't wait to see what he do. You know, Sundays I already know what he about, but I get to see the real thing coming soon.
We like him.
We like this dude. Like
with each passing day
I like
and soundbite,
man.
Yes, we like Cam Ward.
With each passing day and soundbite, right? Jeff is strong as S.
I mean,
I guess
you can look at him and tell that.
I didn't know if
Did I don't he, need him to put he, his hand in my face.
Did he really? Did he really learn that? Should we push back on that's the learn? That's the teachable moment.
Well, I mean, he actually had to feel anything. That power, I guess.
That's true. I guess you could watch a guy bench and squat and stuff and not get a really feel of how strong he is
until
they,
he puts his
they
hand
put
on
their
his
hand
face.
In your face.
Because normally with that red jersey on, he can't be touched. Yeah, so,
put the schedule up. Would you mind putting the Titans schedule up? What the hell, right? Let's get in here.
I mean, it's feisty week one.
Well, it's because it's going to be like, who's he taking? I mean, Denver and the Rams are two really absurdly tough defenses.
Yeah.
Then he's got his first division game against the Colts. Daniel Jones v. Cam Ward, right?
We think.
That's what it will be. At Houston, at Arizona, at Vegas, three road games in a row. 4 out of 6 to start. Then there's the Vrabel reunion.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to wrap up with the Colts before they get a bye. Okay. Chargers. That's not easy. Houston.
It's tough start. Tough start. 5 road games.
Yep. Cam Ward going against these teams. There's not a single nationally televised game on the docket.
At all, the whole season.
They're not even on Thursday Night Football. They're not even on it.
1 o'clock all year.
Wow. Clean sheet right there. Maybe Cam Ward plays well enough. We got to flex into one of them.
Now we're talking.
Ooh.
Now we're talking. I like that. At San Francisco, flexed.
Yeah. Right?
Something like that. I don't know.
First overall pick versus last overall pick. Let's go.
I don't know. Maybe the hype on Travis Hunter is out. Maybe he's playing to those rookie of the year levels. We got a little week 13 edge.
I'm going to say this with nothing but just respect. Okay. I've now said with all due respect, so I'm allowed to be disrespectful.
That's the rule.
Cage is how old?
Cage is 5.5.
Will Cage turn double digits by the time a Titans-Jaguars game is flexed into?
Oh. Yeah.
Will it happen in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think so.
They flex into one. Flexed.
Here's the thing. If we're flexing,
it would have to be final game of the year, winner goes in, loser goes home.
Flexed in or just a scheduled?
No, flexed into it. I just said maybe he plays well enough to flex in. You're going, oh, now you're talking. And then you mentioned one, San Francisco, big national audience, Titans-Jaguars game. Will Cage be in college before that ever gets flexed into?
If Liam Cohen can unlock Trevor Lawrence in that offense like, you know, he has done in the past, like he did for Baker Mayfield,
yes.
Right? And we think that's possible given the weapons now that surround them, Brian Thomas and Travis Hunter now.
Okay.
And some of these other players, right?
Yes.
And Cam Ward is the dog that we're growing to love.
Like Jaden Daniels?
How's
the type of season?
You know what I mean? Like C.J. Stroud, when it wins a playoff game
week
his first
13.
2 years.
Week 13. Let's see. The Sunday night game for week 13.
Maybe they get another wideout for Calvin Ridley.
The Sunday night game for week 13.
I don't know, man.
Denver at Washington.
Oh, that's staying.
The Thursday night game, because you can flex Thursday night.
Those two quarterbacks have sophomore slumps.
Thursday
maybe they're not as good
game.
As we think.
Thursday night game. I don't think there is one. Why is that? Oh, is that Thanksgiving? That's Thanksgiving. That's why. So there are no flexing there. Monday night football is Giants at New England.
Flexed.
Nobody wants to see that.
There you go.
I don't know.
Flex it.
I don't know.
I mean, I'll speak for everyone. That's not going to be a good game.
I'm with Brockman.
TJ, it doesn't have to be your birthday to force Brockman to be positive about something. I just did it all on a regular run-of-the-mill Wednesday,
you know,
in August.
Massage the day.
Nobody wants to see Pat's Giants at that
point,
late in the season.
Yeah,
bro,
no.
Come on.
You're talking about the Patriots being a playoff-bound team.
But if the Giants have one win, what are we talking about?
Come on.
It's a Super Bowl.
Why would the Giants have one win with that defense? Come on.
It might be right. O-line on the Giants is low-key kind of nice, too, I think.
Words that have never been said out loud.
By me, at least.
I don't know.
In this... You know, decade.
Yeah. Giants going to win more games than the Cowboys?
Previous decade, even.
Not a chance. Look, man, if the Cowboys win 11 games, I'm not going to be surprised. If they win 4 games, I'm not going to be surprised. I don't know what's going to happen.
Nobody knows. And it really...
Yeah, we don't know anything. It's August 20th.
Let's just say this, man. The Dallas Cowboys season can be spectacular or a spectacular mess. I don't think it's going to be, you know, if they win some, they lose some. I think it's either it's
going
to be.
They're not going 8-9.
I don't think so.
No.
It's only going to be like 5-12 or 12-5. Like, it's going to be.
And the whole point is, again, I do not believe the Jones family, given a choice, your Forbes rating or your trophy, they're going to go with their Forbes rating.
You don't think?
I don't. I just don't.
Then why is number 11 not playing? Why is he not in practice? Why do we have to have this clown show every single year?
This is what I'm hearing about this now, and I've mentioned it here a bunch of times. I'll repeat it here. Jerry thought they had a deal. A handshake is a handshake, and Micah has disrespected that. And I've heard Micah is just a different cat, and he is somebody that is ready to just hold out, which is why Schefter's sitting here saying he sees this looking at a divorce.
The D word.
Oof.
That's what I'm hearing, is that Micah is not going to just roll over and say, I'll take whatever you got. Yeah. Or I'll play for, you know, my fifth-year rookie deal figure. And he'll just sit at home like Emmett and chill. And that's what I'm, because he's a type of guy that is 100% willing to do that. And if the Joneses think he's just like everyone else is just going to take the money, they're going to learn that the hard way. And that Mike is going to learn the hard way that Jerry is like a handshake in his mind is a handshake. And he also has a year on his contract.
That's the thing. There, right?
And this is not like he's a free agent. And that's why this is what I'm being told by many people. I just find it hard to believe. And I understand you read the stories, like there was a deep dive on the Cowboys that McCarthy wanted the practice field, but it was taken up for some sort of an event that the Joneses didn't even tell them about.
All things optics, like that.
Right. And that, you know, so a practice that a coach wanted to have couldn't have because the Cowboys are doing their business of being the Cowboys and all that business. But at the end of the day, you don't think Jerry Jones wants to win the Super Bowl? Like badly? Like really bad?
Sign him.
And for me, my only piece of advice, if I may dare even to have the temerity to offer it, and I do, is I would rather, like if it's all about being talked about, I'd rather be talked about like, wow, I'm so sick and tired of this team being talked about because all they do is win. I'd rather be talked about like the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Chiefs fatigue, the quarterback and the coach and the tight end, they're on all the commercials that are cutesy funny after the first airing, if you're willing. And after the 50th airing, it's just like, really, this one again? I guess I will now use the facilities. You know, like that's the, like, here they come again. They're winning again. Are they really? Because I don't think they're good enough. I think the league is putting their thumb on the scale. I think all the things that the Chiefs had, the Chiefs fatigue that we talked about.
Yep.
I would rather that's how you're talked about. That's how your name is spelled. If it is important that your team's name is in the conversation, it is at the forefront all the time. I'd rather it be that than the, hey, look at us. We've got drama.
I agree.
I would much rather just let the winning be the conversation and what keeps you in the headlines than all this other stuff. And I thought, like, you know, this is part and parcel of keep it in the headlines by keeping the kid on the griddle and let's not sign anything just yet because, man, I love turning on all the television, seeing us being talked about. I thought that's what that was. But everybody's telling me no. Like the Joneses are like Jerry is 100% thinking they had a deal. And even I was told by one individual that the deal, well, handshake deal was like reopened with another handshake where Jerry offered more money. Mm-hmm. Even okay. Again, I shouldn't be saying this stuff because I'm not confirming or any of this stuff.
These are just things you hear.
Yes. So. I don't know.
Only thing I know is 11's not practicing.
All I know is they're not talking to each other right now.
Yeah, not good.
And if Schefter thinks they're headed for a divorce, he's not just saying that. That means he's hearing. He's hearing their people are dug in. That said, we're not even close to midnight. Midnight is what would you say? Like September? If the third? key date right now is when the plane takes off from the Metroplex. Is 11 on it?
That's exactly it.
That's it. Now, of course, if he's not on it and they sign it, he can get on Air Micah or Air Jerry if things are that copacetic. And he's there for the game and he's suited up and all he's got to do is go hunt Jalen Hurts. But that's not the way you want to go into the season. In the same way, you don't want to go into the season with your offensive coordinator in D.C. saying we're not going to be firing on all cylinders until McLaurin's here. And you don't want, you know, you don't want Trey Hendrickson just showing up and his first snap of the season is going to be against the Cleveland Browns, but that's the way that one's going to be. And he's not coming back and playing in preseason game number 3, I don't imagine. So, I shouldn't be saying some of the stuff I'm saying on the air because I don't want to give anything away that or say things that are not personally confirmed by me. I'm just telling you what I hear. And what I hear is that the Joneses are very obstinate in what they're thinking, and so is Micah. And the two individuals are from different eras and different times and different decades, plural, apart.
Different business senses.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Albert Breer is going to join us next from Sports Illustrated. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks, let me ask you a serious question. Did you know that driving high is considered driving under the influence? That's right. Driving under the influence of marijuana is against the law in every state. That means even in states where marijuana is legal. That means driving high could get you a DUI. And if you think law enforcement officers can't tell when you're driving high, well, my friend, you're wrong. If you're high, they can tell. Your friends can tell. Your coworkers can tell. Even your parents can tell. Everyone can tell. So what makes you think that law enforcement officers don't know when you're driving high? You'd be wrong. They can tell too. Driving under the influence of marijuana can slow your response time and change how you perceive time and speed. So even if you think you're fine to drive when you're high, you're not. Because the bottom line is, if you feel different, you drive different. And driving high is driving under the influence. So remember, drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA. Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like. And it gives you your best night's sleep. Night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Sue's. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year is here. All beds on sale. Up to 50% off the limited edition smart bed. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
The official HBO Hard Knocks podcast is back. I'm your host, Andrew Siciliano. We're joined by NFL and Hard Knocks insiders as the Buffalo Bills prepare to make history.
We're going to do whatever we can to bring a Lombardi back here to Western New York.
Catch Hard Knocks, training camp with the Buffalo Bills on HBO Max. Then watch or listen to the Hard Knocks podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Roku Sports Channel and radio audience will rejoin us. Albert Breer will join us as well. Kirk in Brooklyn, New York. Let's take your call right now. What's up, Kirk?
Hey, Rich, what's going on? First time, long time.
Okay, very good.
for the French Open and the U.S. Open, Jimmy Butler has scored on Carlos Alcaraz. You can do it.
Oh, whoa.
That's all I want to say.
That was a very Rob Schneider thing, right?
That's, you can do it.
Right? I mean, okay, I can do it. Kirk, you really believe
in
you? Now, Jimmy Butler got a point off of Carlos Alcaraz? Did he really?
Yes, at the French Open and the U.S. Open.
Athlete.
But was he really trying?
Yeah.
Alcaraz?
It was volleys and stuff. It was volleys. Jimmy Butler got the point, so I believe Rich can get the point. So I want Rich to keep his dream alive.
Okay.
If that happens, I should make my own line of coffee. I should just keep doing it. Yeah. I should, right?
Small face coffee.
Right? Small.
Is that a big face?
Kirk, I appreciate it. And you've never seen my tennis game, ever.
I have not. But also, I just want to say, you on SportsCenter was amazing.
Thank you.
It brought my childhood back. Hmm. And just keep doing you, Rich, man. You are just.
Thank you.
Doing the thing, man.
I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, I believe I'll be doing more sports centers in the future as well, as you saw today.
That.
Kirk, thanks so much. Kirk in Brooklyn.
All right, Kirk.
And by the way, when I got to Sports Center on Monday night, looked at the, if you will, budget, which is a phrase of we used back in the day of looking at the sports schedule, like what could be there. Sinner was playing Alcaraz.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to get to do a Sinner Alcaraz highlight and mention on SportsCenter. Out Alcaraz from that platform.
But Sinner had to retire.
Yeah. So there was no highlight.
He wasn't feeling well. All right, I'm watching the Butler Alcaraz. First off.
Let's go.
Whatever.
Alcaraz is barely playing. He's not even trying.
But listen, let's give Kirk in Brooklyn an attaboy.
All right,
thank him for his support.
Yeah.
Thank him for his support. The lead member of the Julian Sane fan club from Sports Illustrated, ladies and gentlemen, Albert Breer, back on the Rich Eisen Show.
Albert.
How are you, Albert? Good to see you. How are you, sir?
Hey, and I'd echo what the caller said. I mean, I think for what I saw the other night on ESPN, I graduated high school in 1998. I graduated college in 2002, not to specifically date myself, but that was so wheelhouse for me. The graphics, the music, you on there. I mean, it was just it starts to make you think maybe we had it better back then, but then you just realize that's just you being old. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it was really, really cool, Rich. And I got so many responses from my friends, too, just so you know. Because they know, obviously, I know you and everything else. And, they all said, I mean, it was like just a cavalcade of everyone saying the same thing. It was really, really cool.
I had no idea it would touch a chord like that, Albert. And I appreciate you passing that along and, you being considered me adjacent. I'm honored to have you considered such a thing, to receive those things to pass along, man. I appreciate that. And it was a time machine for me. You know, it was great. I was on cloud nine. I got home. Susie's like, I've seen you so happy like this. It was great for everybody. Mm-hmm. So thank you for saying that. Let's get down to brass tacks here. Why did Shane Steichen make the decision he made, best you can tell, in Indianapolis? Albert?
Yeah, so I think you have to just follow what he said all along, which was he was looking for somebody who could operate the offense at a high level, at the highest level possible. And, I think he felt like he owed it to his team after what happened last year to give them the very best chance in the here and the now. And this year was never going to be about quarterback development. And, I think one of the more interesting numbers that I came across on my camp tour was, the one a couple of guys at the Colts gave me, which was, last year, they were 29th in total defense, and they were 30th in giveaways, and they still won 8 games. So you think about those two areas really conspiring to take down what they thought was a playoff contender, and they were still that close. And so they feel like Lou Anarumo coming over from Cincinnati to run the defense and bringing in guys like Charvarius Ward and Cam Bynum is going to give them a chance on the defensive ranking to get a lot better. And then the offense is going to have to get a lot better naturally at taking care of the ball. And so, that's going to happen through things like staying on schedule, through, running the plays at the highest level possible, getting the ball in the hands of the playmakers. And, I really think they felt like at this point, if they can just be pretty good, not great, a quarterback, then they have a playoff team. And remember, there's an ownership change there now, obviously, you know, with the tragic news we got in the offseason. And you've got a head coach now who's in his third year who hasn't made the playoffs yet. You've got a general manager who's in his ninth year who has one playoff win. I just think because of all of it, it's who can give us the best chance in 2025. And I didn't ever sense any doubt from anybody there over the last 3 months that that was going to be Daniel Jones. If you were talking to people in that building, that's what they were saying. And I'm talking about from start to finish.
Well, I mean, and again, Albert, fair or not, Brian Daboll being on a hot seat in New York, New Jersey area, was in large part to the fact that they weren't winning enough games, as we know. And that is maybe on Daniel Jones's plate considerably. And that's now the guy that the Colts are saying, we're going to go with you instead of the kid that we drafted in 2023, fourth overall, who came into the league without a lot of experience and needs the experience to actually prove something. Yeah. So we're, and again, you know, Derek Jackson, his agent, telling ESPN that trust is a big factor and that's at best questionable right now. I kind of is putting out on the table that at some point the trust factor between both sides eroded. And I'm wondering what the history of that is, and is it something that can get overcome, similar to what happened with Bryce Young in Carolina? Yeah. Like, what do you think, Albert?
I think that was the whole argument for starting with Richardson, right? Like, and I think that was sort of some of the internal discussion there was, well, if it's close, right, or if they're even, maybe it's easier to go to Anthony, knowing that we can just, you know, pull the ripcord on that and go to Daniel Jones whenever we want, other than the other way around. It was always going to be harder to go from Daniel Jones to Anthony Richardson than go from Anthony Richardson to Daniel Jones. So, like, I think that's sort of an illustration, at least to me, like, that there was a gap here. This wasn't, like, close to even. This wasn't, like, 6-4 in the room. Like, there was a consensus that Daniel Jones was the best answer. And I think that play he got hurt on, that play Anthony Richardson got hurt on in Baltimore a couple weeks ago, to me illustrates the entire thing. No one wanted to see the result, right? Like, no one wants to see a quarterback get hit clean like that. However, on that play, he could have done a better job of recognizing what was in front of him. He could have done a better job of matching his protection to who was coming at him and knowing that he was hot. He could have gotten the ball out of the back. He could have gotten the ball out and to his back in the flat, and save the hit on himself. You know, instead, because he didn't recognize it and see it fast enough, he exposed himself to injury and he exposed his team to loss of yardage, loss of down. And that's the exact sort of thing they're trying to avoid this year, you know? And so when I say to you, like, you know, the Colts looked at this and said, defensively, we underachieved and we bring in Lou Anarumo to fix that. And offensively, we just have to be better at the entire operation. Like, that to me was like a glaring sign that Richardson still isn't there yet. And I understand your point, right? Like, which is like that the kid does need to play. And this to me is a little bit like Trey Lance, right? The Niners very quickly got to a point where they couldn't throw any more games overboard in the name of quarterback development when they had a good answer in Brock Purdy there. At what point do the Colts get to the spot where it's, we can't just sink a season into the development of the quarterback, no matter how important the quarterback is? If there is a better answer on our roster and the Jonathan Taylors and the Michael Pittmans and the Alec Pierces and the guys in that huddle, like, how many more times can we say, no, you know, this will look better in week 10. This will look better in week 13. This will look better in week 16. Rather than just giving him the best answer for right now.
Yeah, I hear you. Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. You're welcome. Not to use someone else's reporting to get an answer out of you, but I'm going to. Our friend Adam Schefter used the divorce word, that he thinks that Parsons and the Cowboys, Jerry Jones and Parsons, are have irreconcilable differences, is the gist of his report. Do you feel the same way?
I don't think the Cowboys feel that way. I think it's possible that Parsons is getting there. You know, and I wouldn't dispute Adam's reporting. You know, the color I would give you on that is that, and I'm this isn't like a blueprint that the Cowboys draw up, but you know, like the pace of the negotiation is actually similar to the pacing on the CeeDee Lamb negotiation, to the pacing on the Dak Prescott negotiation, to the pacing on the Zach Martin negotiation the year before that, where you can take an early offer that's maybe a little team friendly, or we'll see you a lot later, you know? And it's just been the way they've handled it. I'm at the point now where I do wonder, is there like an element for Jerry of like, this keeps them in the headlines? You know what I mean? As absurd as that sounds. I've always denied that, but like, it's hard now to like see this keep happening and not think that, you know what I mean? Like that this gets you in the A block of First Take, you know, I don't know. Like, it just feels like,
but you know, what also gets you in the A block of First Take is you have 14 wins the year before and you win the Super Bowl. That gets you the first, you know, or
that
as I was saying, no, I know that, but that's in order to get that way, you pay Micah Parsons. In order to get that way, you pay Dak and you pay CeeDee Lamb, you know, earlier, and you use the cap space savings on doing it earlier on other players to get more depth. So when the inevitable injury happens, you don't have 11 wins. What I said was the end of the hour. I can't even tell anymore. You'd rather be talked about of having Cowboys fatigue in the same way of Chiefs fatigue because you keep winning rather than the drama. Like, that's the goal here, you know?
Right. And here's the subtle difference to me, too. Like, the subtle difference to me with this one versus the other ones, Dak Prescott is beloved in that place. CeeDee Lamb is beloved in that place. Zach Martin is beloved in that place. I don't know that that's fully the case with Micah Parsons. And so like, I just think there's that element of it too, where if things going this way might have a different type of effect in the negotiation. Now, again, I think we all know that money can solve these problems. Myles Garrett wasn't going back to Cleveland until they put $40 million a year in front of him. Right.
Bingo.
And all of a sudden he was okay with the quarterback situation. So I think there is a way to solve this. And I think what we don't know is what Jerry and Steven are willing to put in front of Micah. We also are aware of how vocal Jerry's been about like the way that the contracts are with players and everything else amongst his peers, amongst the other owners. And, so it's just complicated, you know? I would think the Cowboys make another run at it. If that doesn't work, they hold the franchise tag over his head. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. But it doesn't seem like this has gotten, I mean, to Adam's point, like, I mean, I haven't sensed any sort of improvement on this whole thing over the last 3 or 4 months. And when you talk to Cowboys people about it, specifically, when you ask them about it, they'll say, well, you got to ask Jerry. And that's a little bit different than some of the previous negotiations, too.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who are we not talking about? Let's get there, man. Who are we not talking about that we should be? I'll give you one if you need. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me one, and then I'll jump.
What about Seattle? Seattle.
Seattle's fascinating. I think Seattle, to me, is the team. They turned the Russell Wilson trade into capital that's become a bunch of good players in their roster. And I think with the Seahawks now, the question is, can a number of players, and I think this is sort of like the Packers too.
Okay.
Seattle, you got a bunch of really good young players on their roster where it's, can they elevate and become great players? So, you know, running back, Kenneth Walker is a really good player. Is he a great one? Zach Charbonnet has looked really good in camp behind him. Jackson Smith and Jigba, can he be an elite receiver? Charles Cross, I think you could argue, is already a top shelf left tackle, so maybe he's already there. On the defensive line, Boye Mafe, Derek Hall have shown a lot of potential. In the secondary, we've seen flashes from Reek Willen. Devin Witherspoon's a really good player. They draft Nicky Emenwori, out of South Carolina, who is going to play like a Kyle Hamilton type of role in Mike McDonald's defense. So you've got this group of really good players, and the quarterback's probably part of this conversation too.
Yes.
Like, how many of these guys can elevate from being good players to becoming great players? And, you know, I think that's on Mike McDonald and his staff to get that out of them. Clint Kubiak's a big hire for them on the offensive side of the ball. But I like the potential of the group, and it's a bunch of guys similar to Green Bay again, like where you've got guys who kind of have come up together, and now we'll see where they're going with
okay.
it.
Yeah, I mean, they're just you know, Cooper Kupp's sitting there too, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
Kupp's
yeah, but they have a couple like they brought in DeMarcus Lawrence from Dallas, right. Like so they've added a couple of, and that was intentional too, like adding a couple of like. Vets. Veteran yeah. guys, because they had to like they got rid of some of the peak guys, right? Like so Geno's gone, DK Metcalf's gone, and they've like intentionally brought in some older guys that can kind of fill those roles, you know. Like there were a lot of people in that building that became very attached to Pete Carroll and Pete Carroll's program, and so, you know, I think bringing in some veterans from the outside to be in those leadership roles who've seen other ways of doing it was important too.
Okay. What about an AFC team? You can't say Denver because those are everybody's been like... pegging them. Everyone's really been pegging them for the last month. And right, maybe rightfully so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, about who we're not talking about that would leave the Raiders Houston. In the West. Houston? You don't think we're not talking
Houston.
About? Okay.
Houston.
Now you have the floor.
Okay. So, like, I think Houston, there is not a position group in the NFL that will do more to swing the fortunes of its season than the offensive line group will for Houston, because I think they have everything else. They bring in a new offensive coordinator, Nick Cayley, who is going to do things to empower C.J. Stroud, which was part of his issue with the offense last year, because they allowed him to do a lot at the line at Ohio State. You know, like the receiver group, the two kids from Iowa State look like they're ready to roll. Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. They bring in Christian Kirk to backstop those guys. They've got Nico Collins as a true number one in the backfield. I mean, Joe Mixon's a little bit like we'll see. Nick Chubb's look pretty good. They got Damian Pierce behind them. They have a really reliable tight end in Dalton Schultz, and their defense, I think, has a chance to be the best defense in the NFL. They go eight deep on the defensive line. And follow me here. Like a lot of the great defenses of the last 15 years, right, have great pass rushers, great corners. They have Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter as edge rushers. And they have Derek Stingley Jr. And nobody's talking about this guy, but Kamari Lassiter was a rookie for them last year. They think he could be almost as good as Stingley. So if you have those edge rushers, those corners, and now you're really good everywhere else on defense too, you've gotten to that point. I feel like Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans have that program in a place where if the offensive line can come together, they've got a chance to crack into that Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore tier in the AFC, which they've been kind of like nudging up against it.
Hey, man, they've been
that offensive line's that's a massive hit.
That's it.
That's
it.
Because they traded away Laremy Tunsil. They thought the room was toxic. Right. They've thrown a bunch of guys in there. It's a huge if.
I mean, Houston's made the Final Four in the conference the last 2 years. Every year, yeah. Stroud's been with the team. And mm-hmm. And this could be the year where they take that step. That's a major question in the AFC, because that does change the dynamic. I mean, listen, everyone feels like there's that fourth seat in the musical chairs in the AFC Final Four, and we're putting mm-hmm. the Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs in there. Who's that other team? Could it be the Broncos? Could it be the Chargers? Could it be... the Steelers? Could it be
Bengals.
The Bengals? Although Monday Night Football, you're watching the
that
first two drives.
But
you're watching the first two drives for the Commanders, and you're like, can we get Trey Hendrickson a helmet instead of a hat?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
not that he would be the guy to stop the run,
yeah,
but you know, and then you're thinking that's what you're thinking, with all due respect to every other team. You know, Dolphins, Jets, mm-hmm. Patriots fans think that they're on the up and up. The Jaguars have some good feelings about them. I do love every word that comes out of Cam Ward's mouth in Tennessee right now.
I
kind of love his edge.
That thing about his dad, you caught that, I'm assuming.
Go for it.
Like, so he said in the media, I think this was last week, maybe it was this week, but he said, I watched my dad get up at 4 a.m. Every day to go to a job he didn't like. Why would I not be excited to get to the building really early to play football? Something along those lines.
It's like, that, man, I missed that. Maybe I was on walkabout.
I think you were going.
That's exactly what you want your quarterback to say. And by the way,
yes,
it's really interesting. That's exactly what he's doing. If you talk to people there, he holds 5:30 a.m. meetings with the rookie receivers, the rookie tight ends, the rookie running backs. Like every day they're practicing. to go over the offense, watch tape, and go over the practice script. And this has been since the day he got in the building. He organized them himself. And it was interesting. I talked to Brian Callahan about this when I was there last week. And Callie said to me, he goes, you know, sometimes you get rookies that come in and do stuff like that, and they're just trying to, like, show everybody, like, hey, you know, like, look how into it I am. And then you get a few weeks in, and, like, it just dissipates, and you know, they go on, and they're normal NFL players. He's like, Cam started that the minute he got here, and it's still going now, you know? So it's – he – I'm just interested to see what happens with him because he's an impressive kid.
Me too. And by the way, inspiring. I think, what do you think, guys? 5:30 a.m. meetings every day now? What do you think?
Sure. Let's
do
it. If you're here, I'm here.
Okay.
You would beat the traffic in L.A.
Let's do it.
I love this job. Don't you?
Don't I? I like getting up early. I like donuts. Let's go.
Okay.
But man, wouldn't you feel great if that was your quarterback to hear him say that?
Yeah, like, sure, of course.
That's awesome.
Of course. Yeah. How about the Giants? Last one for you. I was talking the other day about an underrated group. That defensive front, man, for the Giants is no joke. And if the offense can, you know, crack open, what, 17, 21 a game, they've got more of a chance than you think. What do you think about that?
I mean, I really like the young core there, despite, like, all the criticism they've got. So I look at Dexter Lawrence, and this was interesting. Like, last year, you know, middle of the year, I'll do my midseason awards, and I'll have executives vote on it, right? So it's not me picking them. It's, you know, people who are, you know, paid to evaluate this stuff. And Dexter Lawrence won Defensive Player of the Year, and the Giants were terrible at that point. So, like, for a guy like that playing interior defensive line to be voted by the majority of people who I had voting on the thing, Defensive Player of the Year, despite a lost season, despite being part of, you know, being part of a defense that wasn't great last year, I thought spoke volumes for the type of player he's become. And you've got Kayvon Thibodeau, and you've got Brian Burns, and you've got Abdul Carter. And in the secondary, you bring in Paulson Adebo from the Saints. Like, you've got, like, the makings of a really good defense.
Yes.
You've got a number one receiver in Malik Nabers, presuming health. I mean, for all the Saquon stuff, like, Tyrone Tracy came in and had a really good rookie year.
Sure did.
Running back.
Yeah.
So is quarterback right, and is the offensive line right?
Yeah.
And that's the question.
I hear you. Yeah. And the, you know, I know Russ is the starter there, and we're all looking at Jackson Dart and the, you know, the ownership clearly wanting to see something, and they do like Daboll. I know that. And for good reason, you know? Yep. That's a big week one game against Washington.
And a lot of people have asked me, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people have asked me, what about Jackson Dart?
Yes.
And I sort of think, like, if they go to Jackson Dart, like, I don't know where their season is, you know? I do think, like, as well as Dart's played and what we've seen from Dart, which is, like, playing fast, he's tough in the pocket, he'll take a hit, all of that reflects 100% what they've already seen in practice, right? So he's really impressed them. And I think the leash is probably shorter on Russ. But if you start, like, 4-1 or 5-2 or whatever, then, I mean, you're probably sticking with him.
Of course.
You know, so
yeah,
that's a little tricky too. You know what I mean? Like, so I just think where the offensive line is with Andrew Thomas coming back off the injury, and you hope some of the acquisitions from last year pan out now, you know, and then obviously quarterback's going to determine how far they go.
Hey, brother, I mean, if the Jackson Dart development plan is a hand wringer, that's a first-class problem, right?
Yeah.
Because if Russ is 4-1, 5-2, that's a first-class problem about what to do with Jackson Dart.
For sure.
You know
for
what
sure.
I mean? Like, the Giants might even sign for something like that.
Yeah, and I don't know if the schedule is going to allow for it either. I think this is right. Like, you guys look this up.
No, we got it. We've been talking about it. It's Washington.
But
it's
at
Washington, at Dallas, and then home for Kansas City, their first three, which makes sense to put Russ out there against those guys. And then the Chargers at home after that.
But that's the whole NFC East, right? Because they play the, I believe, the NFC North and the AFC West. Is that right?
Yeah, they played the, yes, sir. You could see it. The North, the West, and their own division. My God.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And then, by the way, you know, at New England, week 13, that could be
Tougher than it looks now.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. Albert, great ball talk as always. We'll chat soon. Thanks, pal.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
That's Albert Breer.
See you, Albert.
Must follow, Breer, must hang out, must chat. Good stuff.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO at checkout.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bob's had the same car, Betty, since high school. And that was a while ago. Bob's dealt with wipers, slow starts, and a few warning lights. And every time, Bob went to AutoZone, where a friendly AutoZoner helped with free services and the right parts to keep Bob and Betty on the road. No hassles, just help. Everything you need, nothing you don't.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Al Michaels, we're going to give you a choice of three.
Okay.
And you must start one.
Okay.
That you're Tom Brady, if you will.
Right.
You must bench one.
Malcolm Butler.
Oh, yeah. Or cut one, which could be Malcolm Butler, too. Right. All right, here we go. Do you have any starts?
It's time. Start.
Start now.
Bench.
Just sit down and be quiet.
Or cut.
Get up.
All right, with Al Michaels. First one up for Al Michaels in start, bench, cut. Do you have any music, Mike Del Tufo, please? Thank you. Cuts of steak. Ribeye, filet mignon, New York strip. Ribeye, filet mignon, New York strip. You must start one, bench one, and cut one. Al Michaels.
New York strip is in the Hall of Fame, so that's the start. Filet is, you know, on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Ribeye is great, but the problem is it's so fatty.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, you're always watching your weight, so I love ribeye, but I got to cut it.
You're cutting ribeye.
I'm cutting ribeye.
But New York strip is in the hall. Is it?
Oh yeah,
in
the hall. That's the best.
First ballot. First ballot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they waived the 5-year waiting period too.
And it's, you're a medium rare guy, right?
Medium rare plus.
Okay, medium rare plus. Wow, look at that. Okay, next one up for Al Michaels. Start, bench, cut. Event to call: Super Bowl, World Series, Olympics. Start, bench,
ooh,
cut.
Boy.
Oh yeah.
Well,
Super Bowl, World Series, Olympics.
Oh, you think I gotta put the Super Bowl as the starter?
Okay.
Bench. When am I gonna bench here?
That's the idea.
I haven't done the World Series since 1995, so that's cut, I guess.
Okay.
And the Olympics.
You'll bench the Olympics.
Well, yeah. But I'm gonna put the Olympics on waivers, but then I'm gonna
bring it back.
Bring it back.
Okay.
Very good. The waiver wire.
All right, Al, we got a bonus one.
You have one?
We got a bonus one.
Okay.
All right, Al, ready? Golf partner. Start, bench, cut, golf partner.
Okay.
Doc Rivers, Pete Sampras, Rich Eisen.
Since I played golf with all of these guys, you know, I'll probably start Doc.
I knew that.
Because Doc is extremely competitive. Pete's a lot of fun to play with, but you know, Pete, he's been through the competitive realm of his life, so he's out there to have fun. And Rich, I'm sorry, but you know,
I'm cut.
Well, let's put it this way: neither of us would.
I'm fun.
Neither of us would make the cut. We'd be gone by Friday afternoon.
Al's a crowd pleaser. You knew that's exactly what you wanted to hear, Brockman. Oh, it's so much fun. I miss Al.
You just saw him.
I know, but I might just have to call him. I might have to call him just after the show just to say, hey, you know. I love it.
What's the first Amazon game this year?
First Amazon game's pretty good. Washington, Green Bay.
Ooh.
Then Miami at Buffalo. That's a very crucial week three contest in the American Football Eastern Conference. The Eastern Division. Then he's got Seattle at Arizona. Okay. Oh, we got it up there. Thank you. Oh, San Francisco, Los Angeles. Speaking of steak, he can have one by. He can have one right after the game.
Let's do it.
Philly, New York. Steelers, Bengals, baby, baby, baby. Oh, I love it. Vikings, Chargers. Oh, Al's got two games in Los Angeles in October. How about them apples? Yeah. Let's go with, you know what? We haven't done a win-loss in a while. Mossab in Chicago. Let's go. Let's do it. What's up, sir? How are you?
Good, good. What about you?
I'm trying to find my win-loss booklet right now because I haven't done it in a while.
Uh-oh.
You want to do the win-loss for the Bears? Is that what you want to do?
Yes, sir.
All right, perfect timing. I found the booklet. I have a pen. And it is time for a Chicago Bears win-loss game. This is the fifth one of them. What happens on the opening Monday night, sir?
We get a W.
Against the Vikings. At the Lions.
Yes, sir. We'll take an L there.
Okay. Home for the Cowboys.
W.
2-1 at the Raiders.
Yep, we got a win.
3-1 off the bye at the Commanders on a Monday night.
We get our get back.
Okay, you got that. You knocked the ball down. 4-1, home for the Saints.
Easy one.
Wow, Dennis Allen's going to cook stuff up. That's for sure. Fired him. 4 wins in a row now at the Ravens.
That's where we lose.
Yeah, I get you.
Yep.
5-2 at the Bengals.
I think this is a sneaky one. I think we pull out the W. We have a good defense. We have an offense.
Okay.
As long as we can kind of keep up with the score, we can win.
Okay, 6-2, home for the Giants.
Win.
7-2 at the Vikings.
Lost.
7-3 home for the Steelers.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't own us.
8-3 at the Eagles after Thanksgiving.
This is where we lose.
Okay. 8-4 at the Packers.
As much as I hate to say it, we take a loss.
8-5 home for the Browns.
We win.
9-5 home for the Packers.
We got a split.
10-5 at the Niners.
I think this is where we win. Or lose. We
okay.
Lose.
10-6 home for the Lions.
And this is a win.
11-6. Mossab in Chicago.
Can I say something really quick, Rich?
You've got 20 seconds, sir.
First of all, I'm a big fan. Second of all, Ben Johnson really needs to bring back the Packers hate.
Okay.
Packers hate of Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs' time, Charles Tillman's time. Yeah. He has to bring back that hate for the Packers that Bears fans love.
Mossab, thank you for the call. I mean, Lovey, that's the first thing he said, right, at his opening press conference. We're going to beat the Packers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You got to do it, though. You can't just say it.
Yeah.
That wraps up this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Everybody, we're back on the Roku channel to wrap it up on TV.
I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Tom Welling.
Welcome to Talkville,
where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
We're going to be talking to sometimes guest stars.
Are you liking the direction Lois is going in?
Yeah, because I'm getting more screen time.
It's good.
But mostly it's just me and Tom remembering.
I think we all feel like there was a scene missing here.
You got me, Tom.
Let's revisit it. Let's look at it.
See what we remember.
I had never been around anything like that before. I mean, it was so fun.
Talkville.
Talkville.
I just had a flashback.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Let's get into it.